18, I end up in court. The judge started reading off sentences. 7 to 10 years, armed robbery. 9 to 10 years, armed assault with a shotgun. 9 to 10 years, armed assault with a shotgun. 10 years, kidnapping. 10 years, robbery. 15 to 20 years, armed home invasion. 15 to 20 years, armed carjacking. Then 5 years, federal for a gun. At 18, they put me in a car. They drove me to the penitentiary. They dropped me off.
That's Andre Norman. And this is the Depression Detox Show. Welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Tuesday. I appreciate connecting with you today as we have an amazing episode for you today, as we have Andre Norman back on the show to share his story of redemption and how he went from being an inmate at a maximum security prison to a free man who has become incredible. He's become a speaker, an author, a mentor, and just an overall ambassador of hope. So I hope you enjoy this one today with Andre Norman. Enjoy.
My name is Andre Norman, as introduced, and I'm here to share a few things with you. Because my life started so far away from here that it's not even funny that to sit in a room, a stadium of lawyers, doesn't even make sense to me. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts. My mom married a high school sweetheart and she had two kids. And he went to prison for robbing banks. And she met my dad, a local hustler, and she had four more kids. And it was a great thing. Six kids, mom, dad, except for my dad had a habit of beating my mom. So I watched my mom be beat from an early age. And that's just the way life was. I finally got old enough to go to school, which is like the greatest thing ever. It's a building full of kids. So I go to school and I'm playing with the kids every single day. And I would come home from school sometimes. And sometimes it'd be cookies and sometimes it'd be cake and sometimes it'd be chaos. Because in the 70s, it wasn't called domestic violence. It was called handling your household. You had full rights to beat your wife in the 70s and nobody could do anything about it. So you just adjust to it. And I got to escape by going to school. And I would go to school, and I would have fun, and I would play. And I'm riding home from school one day on the bus, and kids started throwing rocks at our bus. And rocks came crashing through the window. And behind the rocks came some names and more rocks. And I fell to the floor. I'm a first grader. I don't know what's going on. And when the bus speeds back to the neighborhood, we get off the bus. I go into the house to my dad, the big guy. And I say, hey, Dad, who are these people? Because I never met white people before. I said, why are they throwing rocks at me? Nobody's ever thrown rocks at me before. And I said, what are these names? What do they mean? Just imagine, I'm going to make you my dad. If your child came home today to you and said, hey, mom, hey, dad, why are kids throwing rocks at us on the way home from school? What do you tell them? My father didn't have an answer, and he walked off, and he left us to figure it out by ourselves. Now, what I didn't know is my father grew up in a town called Petersburg, Virginia. And when he grew up, white kids threw rocks and names at him. And my grandfather told him, that's just the way it is, son, run faster. So when it happened to his kids, he was twice traumatized. But that's just the way it was. Well, one day the rock stopped. Then one day the beating stopped. I came home from school and dad was gone. My mom managed to kick him out of the house. Single mom, six kids living in the hood. You've seen the movie. You know how that goes. We bounce around, I go to a new school, and lo and behold, I'm in the third grade, and they discover something. I'm illiterate. I can't read or write. But that's okay. They had a thing called a dummy class, where they took all the kids like me, and they put us at the end of the hall, and they closed the door. And they just left us there. And I stayed in the dummy class until a teacher decided to intervene. Shout out to Miss Oliver. And she took me out of the dummy class. She said, you're not a dummy. You just learn differently. And she took the time to teach me my learning style. And by the end of the third grade, lo and behold, there was nothing wrong with me. I just had challenges, and she taught me how to handle my challenges. And she sat me down, and she said, Andre, this is for you. Let nobody take it. I went on to the fourth grade, to the fifth grade, to the sixth grade. When I got to the sixth grade, I figured out something. We're poor. Because the other kids will make fun of us. There's no meaner person on the planet than a sixth grader. I don't care what anybody says. And those sixth grade kids made fun of me for wearing dirty clothes, for wearing dirty socks, for not having, being a free lunch kid. They just kept giving me the business. I went home to my mom. I said, Mom, I don't want to go back to this school ever again. These kids are the worst. She said, you have to go to school. And I kept going to school, and they kept making fun of me, until a friend suggested, we can go to the park after school and sell marijuana and make some money. I said, count me in. So I went to the park after school, and I would run back and forth for the older kids, and at the end of the day, I'd make 30 bucks. 30 bucks isn't a lot of money, but it buys clean socks. 30 bucks isn't a lot of money, but it buys clean underwear. It pays for lunch in the cafeteria where I can hold my head up and not be checked off in the book. But I got on that path of negativity. By the time I got to the ninth grade, I'm in the street full time. I'm not going to waste your time with all the wonderful, colorful stories about running around the streets of Boston getting in trouble. 18, I end up in court. And the judge started reading off sentences. 7 to 10 years, armed robbery. 9 to 10 years, armed assault with a shotgun. 9 to 10 years, armed assault with a shotgun. 10 years, kidnapping. 10 years, robbery. 15 to 20 years, armed home invasion. 15 to 20 years, armed carjacking. Then 5 years, federal for a gun. At 18, they put me in the car, they drove me to the penitentiary, and they dropped me off. And when I got there, I'm going to tell you the truth, I was scared to death. I was so scared. Am I going to get raped? Am I going to get beat? Am I going to get chopped up? What's going to happen to me? And I walked in, I said, I'm just going to fight the first dude I see. He getting the business. I don't care. He going to get it. I'm going to let them know I ain't going out easy. You have to fight for me. And I walked in the unit, my fist clenched, and I'm ready to fight. I had my head up, deuce, yo, Dre. I dropped my bedroll, I picked my hands up. It was my man Melvin from the dummy class. He said, yo, Dre, man, where you been? We all here. Stevie's here. Bobby's here. Thaddeus is here. What took you so long to get here? I was like, whoa. And I was like, all right, come on. He gave me a pair of basketball sneakers. I went out to the yard. I'm shooting hoops. Then the big homie came and got me. The guy I've been marveling after since I was 12 years old. There's a guy named Dominic who lived in my neighborhood that we all looked up to. And we'd do anything to hang around Dominic. And he happened to be there. And he came to me and he said, hey, come on with us. And he showed me how to stay alive in prison, because my lawyer didn't come to the prison with me. The judge didn't come to the prison. The district attorney didn't come to the prison, but Dominic was there. And he showed me how to stay alive. I spent the next 6 years being a gang member, charged 8 times with attempted murder, shipped to 9 different states for being violent and incorrigible, having a great time. And I leveled up to become one of the top gang leaders in the state. And I thought I was winning. My mom came to see me one time because I was back in segregation for 2 attempted murder convictions I picked up. And she said, how did you get in jail? I said, Mom, I'm working hard. This ain't easy. This is some hard work. And she said, what about your trumpet? And what about your writing? I said, lady, listen, your husband was a bank robber. My daddy's a hustler. Man, you should be proud of me. I'm one of the top gang leaders in here. And she just looked at me and she kind of cried and walked out. I said, my mom's soft. She'll come back around. I went back to my cell. And while I was in my cell, it finally dawned on me. I was a king of nowhere. I thought I had achieved some great status by taking over a prison that wasn't really mine. And I said, this is the worst. And I said, well, if I'm gonna be a psychopath, this is where I should be. But if I wanna be successful in my life, this is where I shouldn't be. So I said, I wanna be successful. So I said, where do successful people come from? I picked a school called Harvard University. I said, I'll go home, go to Harvard to be successful. And I came out of my cell the next day and I told all my friends slash gang members, I'm going home, going to Harvard. They looked at me like I was crazy. They wanted to laugh at me, but I had a habit of stabbing people. So nobody laughed. Then my best friend pulled me to the side and said, yo, Dre, what's this Harvard stuff? I said, man, listen, I figured it out. Harvard success, I'm over this. He said, Dre, you can't go to Harvard. I said, why? He said, you're black. He said, you can't go to Harvard, you're a gang member. You can't go to Harvard, you're violent. You can't read, your parents are broke. You can't go. And I said, man, get out my way. And I realized something, I was on my own. So I went in my cell and I drafted a plan on how I was gonna get from maximum security prison to Harvard University. Step one, I got a GED. Step two, I started surrounding myself with people who believed in me. Started with my GED teacher. Then it started with a librarian. Then it turned into a rabbi. Then it turned into another mentor. And I just every single day would go and just try to better myself. I learned how to read. I went to the law library and I taught myself the law. Good enough that I could approach a law firm to help me with my appeal. And I overturned my case on appeal. And it was time to go home. I did anger management, mental health counseling, AA, NA, and I don't drink or smoke. I just took everything they had and I made it a better fit.
Big thanks to Andre Norman for stopping by. And today's take-home lesson is making a decision. It doesn't matter about your past, as you heard in Andre's episode. And you can always choose at the drop of a hat to change the trajectory of your life. All right. If you'd like to connect with him, you can go to his website, andrenorman.com. That is also his Instagram and his YouTube channel. His latest book is entitled Ambassador of Hope, Turning Poverty and Prison into a Purpose-Driven Life. And lastly, he just released a new podcast, I believe a few weeks ago, and that is entitled Prison to Millions. And the last time we had him on the show was episode 350, so you can go and check that out. And lastly, if you like to watch today's entire talk, you can go to YouTube and type in Andre Norman went from maximum security prison to Harvard University. And everything I just mentioned, along with a link to the entire talk, will be in the show notes section below the episode. All right, that is a wrap for me. I appreciate you. I hope you have an uplifting and resilient rest of your day. And I will see you back here tomorrow. So, until then, stay strong. Later.